Has anybody ever helped you to understand what it means to be crucified with Christ? Oh, you say, I accepted him as my Savior. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, have you ever understood or experienced what it means to be crucified with Christ? Not in your head, but in your life. Not just positionally, theologically. There are times it scares me half to death to hear some people theologically say, well, positionally that's true. You don't get that feeling with the Apostle Paul. You get the feeling that Paul went through that. However God brought it about, he was never the same again. He died. When he said, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless what? I live. Yet, not I, but Christ living out his life in me. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, folks, I can tell you from experience that when I say that to Southern Baptists, they look at me as if I've got two heads. They don't understand what I'm saying. We come back to say, well, I accepted Jesus. I don't think most of us have a clue what we're talking about. Salvation comes when you enter into such a relationship with the Son of God that you die and Christ comes alive, and the life you now live is an exchanged life, his life for your life. And you'll spend the rest of your life with God unfolding into your daily living the difference Jesus makes when you let his life affect and direct and impact your life. But I want us to sort of stop along the way, and I want you to think practically. I don't know how you deal with the scriptures, but when I read a passage like what Paul says, I immediately look to see if I have any idea what it means to be crucified with Christ. To have died. Did not Jesus say, except a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die? It's going to abide alone. But if it does die, then what? Then it can come up and produce 30-fold, 50-fold, and 100-fold. Now, when I read that, that's not a theological truth to affirm. It is a relationship with the living Christ to be experienced. So I ask myself, is there anything happening in me that is obviously the living Christ multiplying himself in my life and through my life? Not because of what I've done, but because I have acknowledged that if anything is going to happen, it's going to have to be him living out his life in me. Now, most of us, if we've memorized that scripture of Galatians 2:20, need to just sneak into the next verse, at least for the first part of it. Because Paul says, once he understood what God did, it wasn't something Paul did, it was something God did. Once he understood what God did, he then said, from that point on, I have never set aside the grace of God. I don't return to myself once I understood the life that is mine in Christ. I never again went back to the old way. I don't take all of the resources of God's presence and then set it aside and live as though none of it is real. He said, I don't set aside the grace of God. And the grace of God is all that God is and has available, though none of us deserve it, yet it is freely and unreservedly and committedly given to be expressed in our life. Paul said, once I know what it is that God has provided, I then keep self dead so that Christ can live. It is no longer I, but Christ. Now, we're going to take the whole weekend trying to unfold that. And I'm going to have to trust God to instruct us. And the verses or the scriptures or the truths that seem to impact you will be different in each of us. But watch very carefully to see what it is that the Spirit of God opens to your understanding in mind and heart and will and life. Now, so that we can at least get introduced to the 15th chapter, I want to read it. I'm reading from the New King James. Now, the Lord Jesus is speaking, isn't he? He's speaking to his disciples and those who may have been with them. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He is the owner of the vineyard. He is the originator. He is the one who set it in motion. He is the one who watches over it. And if I could say to you about this, and we'll come back to it because I'm not going to stop all the way through it. I want to read it through. Well, you've known I've stopped all the way through, but I won't tonight. But I do want you just to notice that the Lord Jesus makes a statement about his heavenly Father. He said, my Father made me the vine. That was my Father's decision. I am what my Father has purposed for me to be. And it's my Father who's choosing to graft you into a relationship with me. That's my Father's doing. And my Father is the one who has a purpose in mind. It's my Father who wants something to happen in and through your life. Not only that, I believe the Lord Jesus is saying, because my Father is the one who authored it, then the fruit that I talk about is guaranteed. And the whole process is my Father's design. And so my Father is going to do everything within his purposes and power to make sure that your life produces exactly what he had in mind when he put you in a relationship with me. It won't be what you do, it'll be what my Father does. It won't be what you do, it'll be what my life does. My Father is the one who watches over the entire process. And my Father's the one who's going to watch to see if there's fruit being produced. And he's going to deal with that. And you can count on it. My Father, when he sees fruit, wants more fruit, and then he wants much fruit. And my Father, not you, my Father will be dealing with you to make you as productive and fruitful as possibly can be with the Father's activity. And if my Father sees that the relationship with me is not what he intended, and there is no fruit, my Father will deal with you. Now, I just want you to feel the weight of what Jesus was trying to say. He was trying to tell the disciples what they could anticipate, because it was the Father who had a relationship with his Son. You remember in John 17, Jesus turns to the Father in that prayer and says, Father, these men were yours, and you gave them to me. In John 6, he says, all that the Father gives to me will come to me. And this is the will of my Father, that of all that he gives me, I should lose none. In other words, the Father has a plan and a purpose for putting you into a relationship with his Son. And his Son has the responsibility of keeping you and working in you and bringing fruit in your life. He has the responsibility of bringing into your life his life. And we'll look at that. Now, I did that just to help you to see that the Father is critical in the mind of Jesus for the whole vineyard. And the Father is actively involved in your life personally. And he's actively involved in the life of his Son. And the Spirit of God is actively involved in your life. Now, I want you to see how intimate is the relationship between the vine and the branch, and the relationship between the branch to the vine, and the relationship that produces fruit, and how God deals with it. But then we're going to read right on through the rest of that chapter, because I believe that Jesus modeled before them the relationship that he had with the Father that he wanted them to have with him. Because the life of the Lord Jesus was in the Father, and the Father was in him. And the Father accomplished his purposes through the life of his Son. And Jesus is going to say, as I am in the Father and the Father is in me, so I am the vine and you are the branches. You need to be in me and I'll be in you. And when that relationship is real and vital, then there will be something that will happen in you. And you'll be able to see and experience my life being reproduced in your life. Now, with that, let me not interrupt myself again. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Then speaking to the disciples, he said, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. We'll come back to that. That's really, in many ways, the heartbeat of what we're trying to say. Let me just say it slowly. This is Christ's invitation. He says, you are to abide where? In me. He's not talking about activity. He's not talking about church activity. He's talking about relationship. He's not talking about busyness. He's not talking about a call. He's talking about a relationship. And there are two vital relationships. In the one, you are to abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it does what? Abides in the vine. I said I wasn't going to stop. I ask you a question. Are you abiding in the vine? I'm not asking you if you made a profession of faith. I'm asking you, could you describe your Christian life right now by saying, with great joy and great confidence, I am abiding in the vine. Or would you have to say, I don't know what you're talking about? Or would you have to say, nobody ever helped me to understand? Now, this is not a minor statement. He's saying, your whole Christian life depends on it. God purposed that you will have no life in you unless you abide in the vine and the vine abides in you. There is no life in you. And there's no possibility of being a fruitful, joyful Christian without that relationship. Now, I understand that I'm going to introduce you to this truth. And we'll have to unfold it through the rest of the conference. So if you have some huge questions when this session's over, then just live with them for a bit. Wrestle with them. Ask God to help you understand. But we're going to stay with this book and help us to understand, at least in part, how vital is our relationship to Jesus Christ. Let's continue. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, and those are two different things, bears tiny little bit of fruit. It's not what it says. Oh my. Could you tell whether you are abiding in him and he's abiding in you by this verse? This verse says, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them, throw them into a fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Then he goes on and is going to give you his relationship to the Father and what he has promised to you in your relationship to him. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep or practice or implement my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else could do, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which was written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, this is an incredible passage of Scripture. And those of you who have driven a ways and you're looking at your watch and it says 25 after 9, we're going to quit in 5 minutes because I got to continue on in the next sessions. But I want to introduce you to this. It is the Father's purpose to place you into a relationship with his Son. And it is the Father's purpose to place his Son in a relationship with you. And he describes it as a vine and a branch, with the Father looking over the whole process. Your entire Christian life is orchestrated and planned and purposed by the Father. He has purposed that your entire Christian life will be found in a relationship that is vital and real with his Son. And that your entire life depends on him and not on you. He purposed that the life of the Son of God would literally permeate and surge through your life. The branch does not try to bear fruit. The branch abides in the vine. And it's the vine and the life of the vine that produces the fruit. It is automatic out of the relationship. You have to have the relationship that is vital and real. But yours is an activity of the Father where he places you in a relationship to his Son. And it is through his Son that the Father brings his life and purposes to bear upon your life. Now, if you think of the simplicity of the picture, it doesn't take much to make that picture real. A vine is grafted, or a branch is grafted into the vine. And when that branch is vitally connected then all the life of the vine automatically flows into the life of the branch. Branch doesn't have to do anything except remain in that relationship. And it's up then to the vine to make sure that all of the life that the branch needs continuously, moment by moment, flows in to the branch. The result of that will be that that branch is green and fruitful, and the vine dresser sees his purposes happening just like he purposed. And he begins to work in the branch to make sure that it brings forth much fruit. Now, I just want to take a moment, and then we're going to have prayer together, and begin you thinking in terms of the vine. You must understand who the vine is. What is involved in the Son of God? Well, let me give you a scripture or two. You could take Colossians chapter 1. Tell me about the vine. I mean, that vine into which God has placed you. What does Colossians 1 say about that Son of God? He created. Everything that was created was done by Him. In other words, if you were to take the whole of creation, that was done through the Son of God. What's involved in that? Let me ask you, how much power is involved in that? How much wisdom is involved in that? To plan and purpose the universe as we understand it. To plan and think through the balance of the world in which we live. That passage, along with John chapter 1, says there wasn't anything created that was not created through Him. Do you know that that whole aspect of the life of the Son of God is personally resident in your life? God says, I want to place you in my Son, but you need to know who the Son of God is. He's the one who created it all. Could He do something in your marriage? Could He do something with your children? Could He do something creatively with the Kurds? Could He touch Korea? What could the Son of God do if He had a highway of our life to do it through? Anything He wants to do. Could I ask you personally, are you experiencing that aspect of the life of the Son of God being expressed in your life? His life flows into your life. Now, that happens in the little things as well as the big things. It doesn't just mean throwing out all of the galaxies in their place. But you watch the Son of God deal with sin in the days of His flesh. You watch Him as He brings to the woman at the well living water. He's the creator of the water. And He said to her, if you just understood who it was that's speaking to you, He could give you everlasting water, unending water, living water that would never, ever cease. Was He telling the truth? He was telling the truth. He's the only one who can create it. Let me ask you, are you seeing the Creator of the universe exercising His creative power in your life, in your mind, and in your heart, and in your family? I go back to this family that I touched. Let me rephrase it. I go back to the family that God touched through my life. But I was confident that the resident creator of the universe was in my life. And that He can express Himself any way He wants to. I didn't have to say, oh my goodness, I don't know what to say. I just said, Lord, I thank you that you know what to say. And you know what it is that she needs in her life. And you have for her what she needs to have life. One word from you, Lord, and she has your life. Do you know what it means to abide in the vine? It means that His life, flows into your life. And your life experiences His life. How much wisdom does He have? How much knowledge does He have? All knowledge. Paul in the second of Colossians says, I just wanted you to know the in Christness, the mystery of that, because in Him is all the wisdom and knowledge of God. Does that give you access to anything that could touch your life? Any of you ever, don't answer this, any of you ever had to deal with IRS? You know, there's some what we call Freudian slips. My wife's an interesting, wonderful, wonderful person. You know what she kept calling them? The IRA. I said, Marilyn, it's not the IRA. It's the IRA. She said, it's the IRA. And I said, no, it's IRS. We're right in the middle of that. Interesting time with them. It's as if they don't know what's going on. And we're caught up in the middle of it. But I tell you one thing. I am grateful for the one who dwells within me. The presence of the living Christ, if you watch Him in the days of His flesh, He dealt with the most practical things in life. And His wisdom and His knowledge and His understanding are automatically flowing into my life. What I need to do is learn to understand what it means to abide in Him. To take up permanent residence in that relationship. To leave nothing that is hindering in any way that relationship. And tomorrow we'll talk about, not only further about the vine, but through the night, would you think about all that is resident in the person of Jesus Christ? Has He ever been able to deal with sin? Can He deal with it in your life? Can He deal with it in your children? Can He deal with it in your church? Well, you say, now you're on a different subject. Listen, He is the head of the church and He's present. You need to understand the difference that God intended to make in your life by putting you in Jesus Christ. In union with Him, just as vitally as the vine and the branch are united, and immediately the life of the vine flows into the branch, and the branch brings forth fruit. So the Father said through His Son, oh, beloved disciples, let me tell you what my Father has planned for you. He has chosen that I would be the vine, and He put you in me as a branch. And He intends that my life flow into yours just because of the relationship. You don't have to try. You just have to abide. And my life will flow. That's how the Father purposed it. Can you imagine the Son of God saying, Father, I don't think I want to do it. The Son of God has an assignment in every solitary person that the Father brings into a union with Him. The life of the Son of God automatically begins to flow. And I want you, before the weekend's over, for somehow the Spirit of the living God to help you to understand what it means to abide in Christ and Christ abiding in you and you bringing forth fruit and that fruit remaining. And that as you respond to Him, His joy will be full in you. Let me pray with you. Father, we are overwhelmed. Just to begin to understand what you purposed. You planned that your Son would share His life into our very lives. That nothing that you had in Him would be withheld. But that we could know and experience His life. And that His life would affect every solitary part of our being. Father, Marilyn and I thrill to watch our children and now our grandchildren, our daughters-in-law. And Father, I thank You that the life of our blessed Lord who lives in us flows in them. And that there is no limit to what You can do through our families. I thank You that You let me put my arm around my church family and to watch them in a prayer meeting experience You in an amazing way. And I thank You that within our lives, each of us, all Your fullness dwells bodily, and we are complete in Him. Help us to understand, not only theologically, but practically, the living out of Your life in us. And we trust that Your Holy Spirit, whom Jesus said would be the helper, and that He would make You real to us, that we would experience the Holy Spirit making You, Lord Jesus, real to us and in us, even while we meet together over this weekend. Give us rest of body and mind and heart. And give us a heart of anticipation as we anticipate our encounter with You. And we ask it, knowing that You will bring comfort to those who have in these days suddenly learned of a sadness and a sorrow in their life. And that You will place over them the Christ who said He is the resurrection and the life. And that Your children who will and are experiencing some heaviness will discover that He is our life in the midst of some of the most difficult times. And even at the point of death, He is our resurrection and our life. And I pray that Your dear children will know Him who is their life in these moments also. And we ask it now in the name of our Lord and Savior and Your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.